say a few words and bring a message from the Lord. I hope that this is for him, because he's the one that's encouraged me all along to put this together. The title of my message is Repent. How do we examine ourselves and be prepared? And I'm going to give a message that is doing kind of a follow-up of Stephen's message last time we were here, that Stephen gave one, on examining yourself for the Passover. So let's turn to a few scriptures in our book, good book, and examine what God has to say. I don't have to turn mine because I wrote them all down. Smart. First one is Proverbs 9:10. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Just very important basics to... You always hear the fear of the Lord. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, it's right there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge of the Holy One, and his understanding. So why did I start out with Proverbs? Because everybody thinks they have wisdom or getting more daily. And when they think they have it, they are set. But not so. Because one has to never stop having a learning heart. So there's always something. You can read stuff 20 times, and the 21st time, click. Oh, didn't see that before. If we read it 20 times, how could you not see it? But that's the way the Holy Spirit works within us, teaching us. Be persistent in what we do. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay? Question here is, well, I have faith, so I must be pleasing God. Is that always true? In Luke 4:4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. One side note to all that. Bread. I remember when I was a kid, we used to read the labels on different products and bread. Western Bread used to say, I think it was 16 essential vitamins and minerals. And all of a sudden that label disappeared. And you know the reason it disappeared? Because there wasn't 16 essential vitamins and minerals in it. But the government made them take it off. Yeah, it went down to like 5 or 6 or something like that. But keep in mind, Jesus is talking 2,000 years ago. The bread back in those days, you could live on if that's all you had in your house. Why did Jesus feed the 5,000 with bread? Oh, well, I think he had a little bit of fish. And the 7,000. Because bread was so good in those days and so nutritional that you could actually live on it. That's been proven. Okay, the next one. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. Okay? So, are we at that stage? Do we like reproof? I don't think there's anybody who really does. But that's what the Word of God is for. That's what our trials are for the reproof of us. And instruct us in righteousness. In Romans 8, 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Are you his? Do you have the Spirit of God in you? In 1 Colossians 12, 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. Question, have you drank that Spirit into yourself yet? Now, I'm just throwing these questions back at you because it leads to what I'm getting at it towards the end. And a member of minister once said, if I'm saying something that you take to heart or to challenge you to, or it offends you, it's the Word of God, not me. I'm not giving you my opinions on this. I'm just giving you the Word of God. Okay? My seventh one, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20. For ye are brought, or you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Question. Do you treat your body like a temple? Huh? Many different ways you can take that. Number 8, Matthew 16, 24 to 25. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Have you denied yourself yet? Just a question. Now you say, what do any of these verses, do any of these verses make you examine yourself? You say, what do these verses have to do with little children? The answer to that is just one word. Attitude. What is your attitude? That leads into what I'm going to talk about. Now, let's change directions a little bit. So far, I haven't even mentioned anything about children. That's the title of my message. So let's turn to Matthew 18, 1 to 10 and verse 14, and we will get to the meat of the message. But just before I do that, I want to ask you this question. What do you think of children? When I grew up, children were to be seen and not heard. Right? Children were not to talk back to their parents. And if you want a licking, you're going to get one. We all grow up in different areas, we're all about the same age, but we all grew up in different environments, right? I grew up on a farm where you worked. Even when you could carry a pail of water, you carried two because it would balance you off. And we used to come home at lunch hour to do chores. So children were of value on the farm. We did little things, minor things, but we did something. I can't even remember being in a diaper. I can't even remember. Yeah, you know. it was just the way it was. I grew up, you know. And hey, I'm not complaining. Like, it's a hard life or anything. I'm not whining, crying. I'm who I am because of that. I've never been afraid of work. I've never been afraid of anything, really. And it's because of the way I was raised as a child. My grandmother loved me, but I knew what her spatula meant when she was waving it at me. So it was, that's the way it was. Okay, and that's the way children were not disrespected. They were a part of the family. Okay, and that's where I come from. But I'm going to give you some things here that I know there's probably 10,000 of them, but I'm only going to give you 8. I was going to give you 7, but I added 1. Children, they live on every word that the father and mother say. Think about that for a minute. Now, you have to add a little tidbit to this. Forget teenagers. Because teenagers don't always abide by that one. But they're still classified as little children. They do not question where their food, clothes, or home comes from. They just accept it. There's food on the table, they eat it. You know? They love unconditionally. Love unconditionally. That is a multiple in itself, and I could talk an hour on that, but I'm not going to. They trust that their parents are going to be there when they get up in the morning, when they go to bed. It's just a given, right? You put them to bed, kiss them goodnight, and they know you're going to be there in the morning. In fact, sometimes they get up and get you up. They are thankful when good things happen to them. And this is one that grandparents will especially attest to. That when you go to your grandchildren's house and you take a little treat or a little toy or a little something, just a hug, they're thankful for it. When you open the door and they run to you, "Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandpa!" Or Grandma first. It's just part of kids. It's just the way they are. They forgive after being punished, but don't forget why they were punished. Right? I'm going to tell you a quick story. Growing up on a farm, we were the ones, my brother and I, my brother was 3 years older than me, we were the ones that filled the wood house. And if you think you handled a lot of wood in your life, come talk to me sometime. we had a wood house. It wasn't quite as big as this room, but it was. When you were a kid, it looked like this. And we only had a wood furnace in the house, no electric heat or anything. So we filled that thing right full and had piled outside. Anyway, well, my uncle, who was 7 or 8 years older than me, had a little bit of a characterized mouthy. I'll use those terms. And he came in one day and he said, "You little. Get that wood in there real quick." Well, it hit me just the wrong way that day. I don't know why. I can't explain it. So there was the porch and then the going down cellar. And he ran in and he had to go in an L shape. And right in the middle of those two were glass windows. My dad had just put the storms on. Well, Mr. Wise Guy here picked up a rock and threw it at my uncle as he was going, and it zoomed by his head. I had a pretty good arm when I was a kid. It zoomed by his head, went right through the window, and my dear, lovable grandmother was at the stove. It zoomed by her head and knocked the teapot off the top of the... We had an old wood stove. Well, the damage wasn't done, but well, the window was broke, obviously. The only words that I heard, "Wait till your father comes home." Well, I did. Had supper and everything, and then all of a sudden, hell broke loose, as they say. I got a licking like no other licking. The only one I ever had in my life. The only one I needed to have. And the worst part about it wasn't the fact that my rear end was sore. We had a veranda on the house, and after supper, everybody went out and sat on the veranda, and we just chit-chat. Well, go out and sat with all your relatives that were there, your grandmother, your grandfather, your dad, your brother, your sister, and a couple aunts, and bawl your head off and you'll learn a lesson. And I learned one that day, and to this day, I have never, that I can remember, picked up a rock and threw it at anybody. But no animosity at all towards my dad. You know why? Because I deserved what I got. Well, maybe not the last one, but most of them I did. Yeah. But that's the way children were. That's the way children are. You can punish them, and next day they wake up and they just love you to death all over again. They don't say, "You beat me yesterday." No, none of that. That's the way children are. There's a odd exception, but most of them are that way. And they love to be told that you are loved. I never heard that when I was growing up. Never heard. I can't remember. I'm sure one of my aunts said something to me, but never heard that as a parent, as a son of a parent growing up. And when I got married and started having children, I made a commitment to myself and my wife. Sorry. That I would never, ever stop saying that to my kids, and I would say it to them consistently every day of my life. My kids are 51 and 49 now, and when I hug my son, he whispers in my ear, "I love you." Yeah. My daughter does the same thing. She even texts me, "I love you." And that, I'll tell you something. Now I know how Jesus feels when he tells his children, tell him that he loves them. Because that is the root of it all. And that's what we have to understand about children. And children are like sponges. They don't forget nothing. They hear everything and they don't forget nothing. Ever have a conversation with a friend comes over with their kids and the kids are playing in the off to the side and you're having a conversation with your friends or relatives? Then the next morning, "What did Auntie say mean when she said this? Now, how did you hear that?" "Well, I heard. I was playing, but I heard." And, and then 15 other questions come out of that. So, that's what children are like. Okay, now keep in mind, Jesus is talking to children, the rest of this. So let's look at what Jesus talked about little children while reading these verses. Keep in mind the 8 characteristics that I just told you. And I give you these around trust, that they are told, love for their parents, and trust in their providers. Okay? Keep that in mind. I'm going to go to Proverbs first. Proverbs 1:33. Let's see. I will read it from the book itself. I can find it. Proverbs is my favorite book. You know why? It teaches so much about life. So much. I've read it and read it and read it. Proverbs 33. "But whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil." That's Proverbs 1:33. In Proverbs 3:5, if I go too fast and you write these down, let me know. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not upon thy own understanding." Now you got to remember, I'm talking about children to adults, okay? In Proverbs 4:1-4, it says, "Hear ye children, instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." And also in that, you can also read down that under my title, it says, "Give Understanding." And I'm not going to read that all down to 37 because it's too long and I'm kind of pressure for time. But it has, shows in there wisdom, forsake. It says give wisdom first, and then it says forsake, and then, it's, and then the other, wisdom, exalt her, hear, O my son. Put the path of the just is as a shining light. And there's also much in that verse containing the instructions from God. Now let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 1 to 7. I'll get it right here. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Okay? And that is really the crux of this whole sermonette, is that you have to take that quite seriously. In fact, I had it underlined in my Bible before I even started this. So whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hung about his neck and he were tossed in the depth of the sea. Man, those are words that we should really, really, really remember, because a lot is said there. And I'm going to turn over to Matthew 19, 13 to 15. Then there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands upon him and pray, and his disciples rebuked him. Now, think of that last part, rebuke him, and go back to the, what it was said in 18. Scary. It's scary. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Turn over to 21, 15 and 16. 15 says, And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Keep that in mind about these guys, of what was said in 18. And 16 says, And said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? He's talking about the little children, not the priest. And Jesus said unto them, Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. So here we have all this high priest, all the teachers, all the ones that are supposed to be leading the people. And he says, Sucklings, thou have perfected praise. Doesn't say much for the adults, does he? Doesn't say much for them. Okay, let's skip over now to Mark 9, 33, 37. And it came to pass that they departed from him. Peter said unto Jesus, Master, is it good for us to hear, and let us make three tabernacles? They're talking about the, Moses and Elijah showed up. And for one of these, and one for Moses, one for Elijah, knowing what he said. While thus he spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son.
What scripture, sorry?
Luke 9:32. What did I say?
You said Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So it's Luke what?
Luke 9:32-37. Sorry, yeah. My apologies. I got a couple down around here. There. Okay, we all set? Okay, then... where did I leave off here? And then came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of these things which they had seen. But this doesn't seem to make sense in what I'm saying, but Jesus recognized, or the Heavenly Father recognized Jesus as his little son, child. "This is my beloved Son." Okay, so that's the depth of understanding of children and being a son. In Luke 18:15. "And they brought unto him also an infant that he would touch them, but they, when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called unto them and said unto him, 'Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.'" This is just reinforcing what I said. "Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter into the kingdom." So this attitude of little, having an attitude of little children, is extremely important. And even in Luke 6:35, I'm going to go back one because that one is a quote. Luke 6:35. It says here, "But love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Most High. For he is kind unto unthankful and to for the evil." So you're going to be classified as little children. You want to have the attitude of little children in that understanding. And that's the whole... How much time have I got left here, Sam? So there's all kinds of verses. Now I'm going to give you these verses. You can write them down and check them out. In John 21, Jesus referred to his disciples as little children. In John 12:35-38, again, "Be children of light." In Ephesians 6:1-4, don't let me go too fast for you. It tells you, "Obey, honor, and provoke not little children." In Colossians 3:20, again it reclassifies, "Provoke not little children." And I ask the question, can you be provoked? In 1 Peter, or I'll go to Hebrews here. Hebrews 12:5-6, "When thou art rebuked of him." Does that hurt your feelings when you get rebuked from the Father? In Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not upon your own understandings." We read that one before. In 1 Peter 5:13-14, "Nevertheless we, according to his promises..." In 2 Peter again, 2:9, "This is what the Father thinks of his little children." You got to read that verse. In 2 Peter 1:17, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased." In John 1:2-1, it says, "My little children, these things I write, sin not."
Sorry, what was that scripture?
1 John 2:1. So, as we grow in grace and knowledge, or understanding, let us not think too highly of ourselves, but think of ourselves as little children, as sponges, as trusting. Now, when I say these things, it's all about what comes from God right here in this Bible. But think of ourselves as servants and as little children wanting to learn more. And when Jesus was talking about little children, he really wasn't talking about children. He was talking about us as adults, using little children as an example that we should be like those little children with all those things that I've highlighted. And if you have little children, and I think most of us here are connected to little children somewhat, as our children grow up, I've always said this, and I'll repeat it as long as I live, that I had a business, ran a business when my kids were small. Didn't start that way, but it developed into that. And the one thing that I did, when no matter how busy my business was, no matter, and I worked full-time besides, I spent time with my children when they were small. And I've said this, and I'll say it a million times, I had more fun with my kids when they were 0 to 8 than you can shake a stick at. Because I used to come home from after working a day's work, knowing I've got another 8 hours through the business to look after, and still lay wrestle with my kids on the floor and spent time with them and loved them to no end. And as I say, that love has come back to me a million times over. And it's come back even more now that I'm a Christian and I know my Father loves me. So take these words that I've given as trying to change your outlook in your heart if you haven't already done that. I know we have grandparents here, and it is, and parents, and it is most rewarding to have that love of children, to have that love of children from children to you, because you can't measure it. You just can't measure it. And so thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak, and I'll see you again. Thank you.